Yes, I am proud of myself. And no, I am not ashamed of that one. I will just say that for the record.
I still have to put a title in for the listener series. I'm torn between the one that you suggested originally, which is The Peak of Excellence, one that I came up with, which is It's Not Over Till It's Over Easy.
That's good. That's probably better than mine, to be honest with you. I think might be a winner.
Thank you. And Schwal also had a good entry, which was Devil Sard Eggs.
Mm-hmm. But Schwal is also allergic to puns, so I don't know that that's I don't want to encourage her to go down the path to darkness, like, which encouraging her might do, you know.
Yeah, that's true. She did come up with I did not do it, but after the agency patch, shortly after we had the Perils mini set, which was a sort of travel agency themed, so she wanted to just call the listener series the Player Agency series. And I said no, but that is a good one. I think I have not yet had a name of my own on the listener series, so we may do that.
No, I give my endorsement for that. That is better than anything I came up with. It is funny that Schwa and I get along so well, given that she doesn't like either puns or Commander. So I don't know what we, you know, how we get along, but we do. Like,
certain type of nerdy energy, even when you know, you can tell that some nerds are truly compatible. If even when the specific special interests are not compatible, the people are still compatible.
Yeah.
I mean, I still know very little about trains at this point, and my husband loves trains. I know a lot more about trains than I used to know, but less than you would expect, given how many conversations I have had about trains over the past several years.
I'm surprised that he hasn't convinced you to take that train across Canada, like the fancy one that goes from like Vancouver all the way to Toronto. Like
he likes kind of like historical trains. Necessarily often steam, or not necessarily steam, but just like older trains. We have a lot of like old pictures, and like he's shown me. I do know a decent amount about model building of trains at this point, or at least I can sort of recognize the names when he says them. I can't call them up for you. I've been to like, there's a surprising number of train museums in the Bay Area, and been to them and seen the full size steam engines are quite impressive to stand next to. I will definitely say that they're very large. And there was even at the nonprofit where he runs, they, for a while, they had a sort of partnership with a train museum that ended up just kind of being a little too far away. But some of the students would go up, and I was one of the people who would go up to the train museum, and we would work in the workshop where they're trying to restore the trains. A bunch of former engineers, mostly on the autism spectrum.
I think that goes very without dedicated. Saying to some extent. Those are our people for sure.
Those are like, our people.
Yes.
And there was one cool guy. I managed to impress him the first time that I was up, which I was glad, because you know, it was like, young woman doesn't know what she's talking about, but they were trying to move an engine on a crane, but the crane couldn't get up high enough. And I had spent the entire day telling students not to fall in this open pit, the pit that you would get to get underneath the train to work on it. And so I was like, well, just move it over, like drag it over to the pit, and then that's low enough, and then you can cinch it up. And then he thought I was a genius. Well, this was not a huge insight, but he was also very much not good at safety. So I'm like sitting there with the students being like, safety, safety, safety. And he's like, oh yeah, one time I fell in the pit, but luckily no one was there to see.
It's like, oh, okay.
And he was like an older guy, you know, like not a young guy. Or like, he like goes to use the lathe and my husband's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm, you know, just lathing this thing. And my husband's like, with those long sleeves and like loose clothing, what are you doing? It's like, well, it's always been fine before. It's like, no.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, listener, practice good shop safety.
Oh, gosh.
And don't, they eventually did put up some sort of barrier around the pit, apparently. Because I think maybe after they found out that he had fallen into it.
Tape does not enable wearer to fly. Yeah.
Those look pretty deep and concrete. You know, it's like, no, you don't want to fall into that.
Oh my God.
Anyway. I did that instead of, because that freaked me out a lot less than the horse ranch. That they, like, the options were a horse ranch or a train museum. And I am afraid of horses.
I mean, horses do kick. So, like, that's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They're very
big.
They're just
large. And I had an experience when I was a kid where I was on vacation with my cousin, and she liked riding horses, and I did not like riding horses. So I said, can you give me the, like, most boring, docile, gentle horse that you have? And she said, I want a horse with a personality. But they mixed us up.
Oh no.
So I mean I was not injured or tossed from the horse, but it was an adventure. And also I could not get the horse to do anything that I wanted. So
yes, because actually, the thing you wanted was to let you off. And
exactly. I just was like, please get me off of this thing. They actually have the students and the staff wear steel-toed boots when they're up there, because it's just, there's been enough incidents of people getting their feet stepped on by the horse that it's like, all right, we're not going to be liable for your foot getting stepped on with a horse. No. The things that you have to worry about in that kind of situation.
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
So I kind of understand why people like horses, but I am afraid of them. So
I'm not a fan of anything that smells. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like I can drive a car, you know.
If I lived in times when you needed to have a, you know, where like riding a horse was like an important thing to do, I think I could get over it, but I mean, don't.
Maybe it's an important skill to have in the post-apocalyptic world, but I don't know. I'd rather be an optimist, I suppose. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going up to my mother-in-law's on this weekend. Last time I was up there, I let them talk me into watching, I don't know if it was the last time or it was an earlier time, but the newer Mad Max.
Furiosa.
Furiosa. That is not my kind of movie. I think it was well done, but it is like really not for me. But I was trying to be polite and so didn't say, like, can we not watch this movie? But then got pretty overwhelmed, and my mother-in-law was like, you could say something. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Is it's really violent and
depressing. I don't quite like Maureen and one of the twins were going through like all of the MCU in order for a while, and then they got to like, I don't know if it was Jessica Jones or if it was one of the other, or like Daredevil or something, and it's just,
if
like
they're doing like the old Netflix stuff, that's like really a lot.
Yeah. I just called it your superhero murder show.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it didn't really matter. I mean, that, which basically covered everything, right? And yeah, but it's just like there's a lot of yelling, there's a lot of blood, and that's not like, if I want to see like depressing violence, I can just watch the evening news. I don't need to like boot up Disney Plus for that. Like,
we just need some good cozy fantasy to bring us full circle here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Trails in the Sky. Fantastic.
Even further full circle. Yes.
Yeah.
I just started reading a book called Mad Sisters of Esai or Essie, I'm not sure. ESI, which is from an Indian author, like Indian from India. Mm-hmm. And it is extremely strange, but I'm loving it so far. It's very, there's a South American writer named Jorge Luis Borges, who this
yep.
I think is directly drawing inspiration from, because he has a story called The Library of Babel. And in this story, they start inside the Whale of Babel, and which, of course, you know, and just the style of writing and the sort of like academic but surreal prose. And I don't even know what the story is going to really ultimately end up being about, except for about sort of sisterhood. But there's a couple of sisters who are the keepers of this mystical universe traveling whale that has like different chambers inside it that are somewhat, it's not clear yet what makes them, but they're sort of formed from thought, and you can explore them through like almost like universe hopping, but they're the only people there. And one of the sisters wants out to find more people, and the other sister does not want out to find more people. And that is where we start. I've only just started it, but I think it's really cool. And it's very dreamlike, but I'm a fan of that kind of thing. My husband was like, no, absolutely not. I want to know what's happening.
Yeah. So, I don't think I ever finished it, but like someone was watching this show in the basement of Theta Chi when I was in college, which, you know, was a common occurrence, right? And I just like sat in on some of these episodes and was enthralled. I don't know if the show was like called Awake or something, but it was the main character is this guy who he was in a car accident, and I think I don't know which is first in terms of order that you see it in the show, because I wasn't there for the first episode, but so his son dies, and you're going through the tough reality of like he and his wife getting through grief of their son, and he goes to sleep and he wakes up and his wife is the one who died, and the son is alive, right? And so it's the hard stuff of like going through that, and it's like basically every time he goes to sleep he switches realities.
Oh God. Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
Essentially, yeah. Like he doesn't know which one's real, which one's a dream, assuming that is what's going on, right? And there are these kind of weird parallels where he's seeing a therapist, right, in both of them, right? You know, grief counselor or whatever. I think he's some kind of detective or something, and so he'll be like using information from stuff that happens in one of them to help him like solve the case that he's on in the other reality. And I don't know, it was like kind of devastating, but also like really really interesting.
I mean, I got upset with like the ending of How I Met Your Mother. So like that would like ruin the series for me. So like anything that's like deeper than that is like, I remember watching that show a few times and both of us shouting, I didn't turn this show on to feel feelings.
I'm looking up what happened there. Oh, I see.
I mean, I can spoil it, but yeah.
Yeah,
that well, but not this for the is listeners. A, come on. Well, actually, no, it's a pretty old show. But if you
have it's been off the air for like 15 years, so it's not like.
And is,
you know,
honestly kind of dated at this point. Some of it, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't gone back and watched it again because it's hard. Like, the ending really did, like, wreck it for me a lot.
I didn't mind that ending. I thought that was an interesting twist and fine. And you know, and they're like, well, why don't you go after this other woman that like clearly you're still
Yeah.
You still kind of have feelings for. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, we're we started watching Community again. And that's
a good
that's
one.
Still good. Yeah, that's still good. That's, I mean, we're kind of rotating through our comfort shows, I guess, but you know.
I had mentioned my college boyfriend, we watched that together, Community.
Yeah.
and it was a good time. Abed, best character, obviously.
Yes. Well, I mean, it goes without saying, but yeah.
Is that the one that people say, like, oh yeah, the first season's a little rough, but then it's really good?
That could be that or Parks and Rec.
Oh,
Parks and Rec
yeah.
is maybe very much that. Uh-huh. Like, Parks and Rec, like, you just skip the first season entirely. Most
that's
people.
Probably what I'm thinking of then.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, it does take a, it gets a little bit more into, it's like, we're just going to really go into a weird genre parody every episode after the first few episodes. The first few episodes, it's kind of laying the scene and getting to know the characters and stuff like that. But then it really hits its stride when it's just like every episode is a surreal genre parody and the only person who knows what's going on is Abed because his special interest is genre. And he's
and
the
movies,
one who's willing to believe
that
they're in a genre parody. Yeah. Yeah, movies, basically. Yeah. It's a movie special interest. And there's, you know, but character growth and development happening, but
yeah. I mean, you know, some, yeah.
Mostly.
But yeah, it's I mean, yeah, because the Joel McHale character starts off as a real jerk and he starts to show some humanity by like the end of the first season, I guess. But
yeah, he originally puts together the study group, like, kind of by accident. I don't remember exactly, but he did not intend it in a good way. He was just, like...
He was just trying to get one of the people into bed, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. By using a pretext of a study group, but then he accidentally makes a real study group. So. And then a bunch of weird things happen. I mean, as someone who went to different colleges, including Community College. It's not like Community, but there is an aspect of you have a lot more different kinds of people in Community College than you do in your average four-year school. So
that makes sense.
People there for all different kinds of reasons.
Yeah. It's a fun show. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
It's getting late for you guys.